All right. Now, for those of you that have been here for the past few weeks, we've been going through a series, a teaching series, on our identity. That's the primary focus, and specifically, kind of our individual identity. What does that mean? Well, we kind of see what the world says, right? We kind of see the secular worldview of that. Individual identity is very often viewed as highly valuable, highly important, especially in our society. That's a pretty unique aspect of Western society, especially in America. That's an ongoing pressure. It's an ongoing pursuit, is to find your identity, whether that be through happiness or doing what you want to do, whatever the case may be. But building kind of your own sense of identity is very much a part of our self-centered culture in America. Now, what does that look like? We've all seen it. It's easy to recognize, right? In American culture, we see things consistently along the lines of, you know, you can be whatever you want. You are who you believe you are, or you are who you feel that you are. You are what you make yourself. And a really popular one is, you are perfect just the way you are. Now, these sound positive. They sound good at first glance. But unfortunately, so many of these is where we get sidelined and confused, and it leads to a fragmented sense of identity. Why? Well, these more secular, self-focused views on identity are ultimately unsatisfying, right? They're empty, and at their core, they're not fulfilling. And we see that. Many of us have experienced that. Why is that? Well, those views of identity aren't built on objective truth. They're built on subjective truth, and subjective truth is often a lie. This lack of true stability leads people to cling to even more unstable lies. And many of those we've gone over in this series so far. We looked at the lie at the beginning of, I'm not good enough, which is a lie that traps us in our own sin. It makes us falsely believe that we need to be good in order to be forgiven. We also looked at the lie, I am what I do. This is a lie that's a distracting lie. It has us focusing on material gain, material efforts, rather than the true value through Jesus Christ. And then last week, we looked at the lie, I have to be strong, which is a lie that traps us under the idea that our efforts are based on our strengths rather than the strength that Christ supplies. Now, these identities are all lies, and they can be thieves. They can steal our true identity. This whole series, we've been pointing at something. We've been pointing towards true identity and where that should be found, where that is. An identity that has a firm foundation, an identity that is based in the way, in the truth, and in the life. It's an identity that's based on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What does Jesus say about identity in Him and what that looks like? Well, we're going to look at John 10:10. This is a verse that we've seen along the way here. And it says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came so that they would have life and have it abundantly. That is a promise of the truth and a promise of what identity looks like in Jesus. Sometimes in our own flesh, that's hard to see. The truth can be hard to see. We live in this dark, corrupted, sinful world, and our own flesh gets in the way, and it can hide the light of that truth from us. And that's why we do things like study the Bible and rely on God, and we have teaching messages that can help identify some of those things. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to address another lie in an effort to help illuminate the truth that we can find in Jesus Christ. And the lie we're going to talk about today, it's a very common one. It's a lie that can lead to, and often does lead to, all the other lies that we've discussed before. It can be even made up of a lot of those lies. This lie is not just a lie, but in today's world, it's often used as even a virtuous statement, a bold statement, a statement made in bravery. And it's a dangerous lie, and that lie is, this is just the way I am. And that's the title of this message today. This is just the way I am. Now, I want to invite you to turn to 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. You got your Bibles with you. We're going to be looking at that today. And while you're turning there, please recite our family declaration with me. Let's say it together. Your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Therefore, I will hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Amazing. It's good. Take it seriously. We don't say that every week for no reason. Really think about those words. So 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. Let's look at that. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not wage battle according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying arguments and all arrogance raised against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Great passage. There's a lot there. You could do a whole series on that passage. But I want to give you a little bit of context on that passage. Paul was writing to the Christian community, or the church, in Corinth. And he's speaking about dealing with an uprising of deceivers, rebels, people that are kind of rejecting the truth. Specifically, they were false teachers. Now, this group of deceivers were making some waves. They were causing issues. They were deceiving the believers. Specifically, they were rejecting, undermining, and rebelling against Paul's authority. But ultimately, they were rejecting the truth of God's word. They started to build these deeply established networks of resistance, these networks of lies and scriptural opposition. And this was threatening the Christians there by deceiving them and leading them astray. This can be applied today. We see this today, don't we? Not only literally. Now, we have plenty of false teachers that we have to deal with. They're out there. They're among us. But even culturally, with this idea of this self-centered society, this obsession with individual identity, and that's the most important thing. That's a big part of our world. The lies that society tell us, especially about how we should treat ourselves and how we should look at ourselves, are lies. And they are opposed to the truth that we find in God's word. These lies, some of which we've been breaking down this whole series, are dangerous. Why are they dangerous? Because they can take root deeply, and they can deceive us from the truth. Why? Well, there's a phrase we've been using throughout this series, and we're going to look at that again. It's a lie believed as truth will affect you as if it were true. A lie believed as truth will affect you as if it were true. This lie is no different. This is just the way I am is not only something that can affect us in that way, but it goes a little bit deeper. It's a deadly lie that's disguised as honesty. This is just the way I am can be said or summarized or articulated a few different ways. We've heard it. Things like, I've always struggled with this. It's just the way it is. I've tried to change. It never works. I guess God just made me this way. This is just who I'm meant to be. I might as well give in and give up to it. Now, the tricky part about this lie, is that it comes off as honest. Like I said, it's disguised as honesty. It even sounds like self-awareness. Maybe humility. But at its core, it is a lie. It's one that either says, I must fix myself to be worthy, which is what? Self-righteousness. Or, I can never be fixed, which is self-condemnation. Now, both of these might seem like they're at opposite ends, right? They're the inverse of one another. But they're actually both pretty much the exact same. Why is that? Because they're centered on self, and they're not centered on Christ. Both sides of just the way I am has us deciding our value based on our own fleshly and worldly perspectives. What does that mean? Ultimately, you're putting yourself in the position of God. And you're assigning your own value. It's a dangerous place to be. The lie here is not only that we can't change, it's that it's up to us to change. And that kind of thinking leads to exhaustion. It leads to despair, shame, guilt. It leads back to all of those different identities that we talked about at the very beginning. All the identities that we've gone over in past weeks. It leads to those empty, unfulfilling, worldly identities. And we get trapped in that. And if you're taking notes in your bulletin, this brings us to our first point this morning. And that point is, this is a lie that leads us into bondage. This is a lie that leads us into bondage. Look back at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to look specifically at verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. What does that mean? What are we talking about here? Well, firstly, it says that the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. What does that mean? It means they're not of us. We don't possess them. They're not in the world. What kind of power do these weapons have? Divine. What is divine power? It's from God. Right there, we see an immediate shift in a reliance on God, away from us and a reliance on God. It comes from God, not from you. What fortresses are in need of destruction here? What are we talking about? Well, think back to that context. What was going on? Lies, deception, falsehoods, rejections of the truth. We're talking about fortresses of deception. Lies that can shape our behavior, shape our beliefs, and our sense of identity. That's the fortresses that we're talking about. And when we say, this is just the way I am, it can become a fortress and a stronghold against the truth, against God's truth, which is that our own failure based on our own efforts This is a tough one. It's one that I think people get so stuck on. Because there is some truth here, right? I am just the way I am. What are we? We're going to discuss that a little bit. But this can't build against the truth of God's word. The lie that it's up to us to change, it goes against the truth of what the Bible says. What does the Bible say? We're going to look at a couple verses here. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seems right to a person, but its end is the way of death. And then Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The lie that this is just the way I am opposes the truth that no one outside of Christ is justified in God's sight. That is the truth. You might be like, I'm kind of confused now. That's kind of what this points to, right? No. Why? Brings us to our second point. It's because this is a lie that glorifies self. This is a lie that glorifies self. Look back at 2 Corinthians 10 again. This time we're going to look at verse 5. We are destroying arguments and all arrogance raised against the knowledge of God. We're going to stop there for a second. We'll come back. What is the arrogance here? The arrogance is the lie that redemption is up to us. That trips so many people up. And it gives me pause. Something just earlier, I'm kind of stumbling through it because it's so tricky. But it is a lie. Redemption is not up to us. There's two sides of this lie. There's two sides that trip us up on that fact, and they both point back to that fact. What are the two sides? We talked about it already. Self-righteousness and self-condemnation. Let's talk about self-righteousness for a second. What does that look like? It's very common in the church, unfortunately. It's been common for me. I've seen it in my own life. But we've all heard it and we all see it. We may have even experienced it. Things like, I should be able to fix this by now. What's wrong with me? If I just tried harder, I'd be better. And I got to do better to earn anything. What is that? What is the root of that? That's works-based religion. That's not the truth. Many, many religions religions besides the true Word of God, faith in Jesus Christ, trap people here. They have you believing the lie that you must be righteous under your own deeds, through your own power, through your own strength, and that's the only way you're going to earn your way there. And that is a lie. It's a deception. And it knocks you off course. This is not some new thing. The Bible speaks to it many, many times. We're going to look at one of the best places that it speaks to it, and that's Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. It has nothing to do with what you do. Look at Titus 3, 5 through 7. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we did in righteousness, but in accordance with his mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he richly poured out upon us through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Hallelujah. Trying to be good enough on our own, it does not work. It isn't just exhausting. It's sinful. It's sinful. It replaces God's gift of grace with what? With self-centered performance. Again, it goes back to you. Now, there's probably people here right now that are like, yeah, I hear you. That's exactly the problem. I'm not good enough. This is just the way I am. I'm a failure. I can't be saved. And that's the second side of this lie. That's the self-condemning side. What does that look like? I'm too far gone. I'm not worth saving. Nothing more can be done for me. This is just who I'm destined to be. That, again, is a lie. And it's the nastiest side of this lie. It's a nasty side because people get stuck in there and they get sucked down into that thought process and they're down into despair. And self-hatred, depression, deep anxiety, hopelessness. You might wonder, how in the world does that glorify self? That doesn't sound like self-glorification. It glorifies self because it elevates our sinful identity as our master, and it denies the saving power of the gospel. Let's look at the power of the gospel. Isaiah 53, 4 through 6. However, it was our sicknesses that he himself bore, and our pains that he carried. Yet we ourselves assumed that he had been afflicted, struck down by God, and humiliated. But he was pierced for our offenses. He was crushed for our wrongdoings. The punishment for our well-being was laid upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the wrongdoing of all of us to fall on him. And then Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I said there's an element of truth to this lie. The lie of, this is just the way I am. It is important to know that you are beyond self-repair. You are. But you are not beyond redemption. And this is why the self-condemning side is the most deadly side of the lie. Because it's pointing to that false idea, that false identity that we are not worth saving and that we can't be saved. And that brings us to our third point. And our third point is that this is a lie that puts us under our guilt. It puts us under our guilt. It beats us down. A lot of people talk about Satan and his relationship with sin and how he leads us into that or causes it. And I think there's a lot of misconceptions there. This is something that I talked about with a few guys this week. Satan doesn't force us into sin. It's very different. Does he tempt us? Absolutely. All Satan does is give us opportunities to do what our sinful heart already wants to do. And I'm telling you that because that's the truth. His goal isn't just to make you fall and stumble into sin. He wants you to settle in your sin and in your bondage and assign that as your identity and wallow in it and make you believe that there's no way out. So what's the point of trying? That's deadly. He wants to keep you there. He wants to keep you thinking, this is just the way I am. He's the accuser. He's a deceiver. And Satan, the accuser, stands there and says, you're too broken to change. This is just the way you are. You're too damaged to be loved. This is just the way you are. You're too sinful to be used. This is just the way you are. Give up and give in. Satan wants you believing the lie that the gospel is good enough for others, but it's not good enough for you. And that is a lie. And that's our fourth point here. This is a lie that hardens us to the gospel. What does that mean? By believing this lie, we are hardening ourselves against the gospel. We're hardening ourselves against the truth, against the good news. We build that fortress, that stronghold out of that lie that we've created and that we've believed. That's Satan's main move. That's how he succeeds. He wants to harden us against the truth, and he wants to do that to as many people as possible. Let's look at what Jesus said. What does Jesus say about this? Let's look at the truth. John 8:34-36. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. Now the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son sets you free, you really will be free." It's all about Jesus. It's not about us. Listen, church, Satan's fighting a losing battle. When Jesus died on the cross and rose again 3 days later, he won. He was victorious. He defeated sin. He defeated death. And spoiler alert, Satan gets destroyed in the end. And he knows. So this is why he's so focused on distracting people from the gospel. That's all he's got. He wants to take as many people down with him. He's lost. It's not a close fight. Some people think that. They're like, yeah, it's going to be this battle and it's going to wage and whew, it's going to be close. It's not close at all. It's over when Jesus comes back. And for those that have faith in Jesus Christ, the victory is already in you. You're victorious by being glorified through Christ. So don't believe these lies. Look back at 2 Corinthians 10, this time verse 5. We're going to read the whole thing. "We are destroying arguments and all arrogance raised against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." What do we mean by taking thoughts captive? Don't believe the lies from the deceiver and the accuser. Believe the Savior. Believe the Word of God. Believe the way, the truth, and the life. Now, we got to do a couple things to face that and to believe that truth. Because there is, a little bit of a truth here, but then it sucks us down into that spiral of despair and we get distracted from the point. What is the truth? The truth is we are not good people. We cannot become good under our own power, and we cannot save ourselves. But Jesus is good. He became our sin. He bore our shame. And he gifts us his righteousness to anyone who believes. Believe what? Believe that Jesus is the one and only Son of God. Believe that Jesus died for your sins and was raised from the dead. Believe that only he can save you and that you are not worthy of righteousness apart from him. And believe that there is nothing you can do and that it is only by his grace that you are saved. That's deep. Folks, those of you that are believers understand this. That's more than words. That's a very deep surrender and commitment. That's a statement. A life-changing statement, because your old self gets destroyed and God creates you new under that true realization. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. We'll see explanation of this in the Bible. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Ephesians 2:3-6. Among them, we too all previously lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our wrongdoings, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ. And then Romans 6:5-7. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for the one who has died is freed from sin. We are not called to identity in self, in our sinful, carnal self. We are called to the denial of self and identity in Jesus Christ. Look at Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. That's our identity. It's not self. It's Jesus Christ. When we believe the gospel, our identity is no longer rooted in who we are, or even who we think we are. Thank goodness for that. We've talked about that. It's empty. It doesn't lead anywhere good. We all understand this. Instead, it's rooted in who Christ is and what Christ has already done. Hallelujah. Believe in Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins and ask him to forgive you. And confess Jesus Christ publicly as Lord and Lord of your life. Look at Romans 8:1-6. Therefore, there is now no condemnation at all for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are in accord with the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are in the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Life and peace. The law cannot be met. The standard can't be matched. It is too holy, it is too perfect, it is too high, and we failed. But redemption is available in Jesus Christ, and we celebrate the fact of that next week. Right? Died on the cross for our sins. When that happened, so many people underestimate the depth of that. He went up on that cross after living a perfect, blameless life. Never gave in to temptation. Lived here as a man. 100% God, 100% man. Showed that the standard could be met. Went to the cross. Not only died the worst human death you could die, but bore my sin there. He bore all my shame, all my guilt. He owned it. He bore it. And all of yours as well. And then endured the entire punishment and wrath of God. It wasn't just a human death. He bore the punishment for us. He died, fulfilled the prophecy, fulfilled the law, and defeated death 3 days later when he was rose again from the grave. Now as we close, I want to invite the worship team to come back up. This is something, you might see the passion. And this is round two, so it's hitting me harder this time, so sorry. But it's because the truth is so much better than any lie we could believe. Who's telling you that lie? Where did you hear it? This is just the way I am. I just got to deal with it, and I guess I'm just ruined. Or this is the way I am, and next week I'm going to start reading the Bible more, and then I can ask God for help. Jesus doesn't say that. What's he say? He doesn't say try harder. He says come to me. Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is comfortable and my burden is light. Jesus also doesn't say, you'll never change. That's Satan. That's the accuser. Instead, Jesus makes things new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, this person is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Focus on the truth. But remember the danger of that lie. That lie of this is just the way I am. That lie says this is who you are, you're stuck. The truth, the gospel says in Christ you're free. The lie says you're not enough. The truth, the gospel says Christ is more than enough. The lie says it's up to you, you're failing, you got to keep trying. The gospel says it's already done. It is already done. Turn to Christ. Especially if you don't know if you believe it. You're not sure. Maybe you've never heard it. When you hear it, you act on it. It's the best thing you could do. For those of us that have heard it, be employed with the urgency of this. It's the Great Commission. Share the gospel. It is the most important thing. We're not talking about physical things here on earth. We're talking about eternity. This is the only way, the gospel. This truth is the only way. Let go of the lie. Grab hold of the gift of grace available through the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, the one that no one else can get you to the Father through. It's only through him. Stop trying to be better. Trust the one who already is. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so sinful, Lord. We're so in need of your help. We're broken. We're feeble. Lord, and you are so good. You're so perfectly holy, and you're so loving and merciful, Lord. Lord, you knew the very beginning of time, this plan was laid out. This was always the plan. You knew there was no other way, and you designed the perfect plan of redemption. Despite our sinfulness, you made a way because you love us and you wanted that relationship with us, Lord. I pray that for those who have already committed their life to you, that they realign with that commitment and understand the severity of what that means and dive deeper into the relationship with you. I pray that we as a church die to ourselves daily and live for you in full surrender, full commitment. Lord, if there's someone here that they don't know your truth yet, I pray that they would. I pray that with your grace, you draw them to you. Make it unbearable for them, Lord, so that they can take on your burden, your light, gentle burden, and live with you, in you, and for you, Lord. There's nothing else better on this world. Nothing comes close. I pray for all of those of us here that understand that to boldly share that. Share the gospel. Go out, save as many people as we can. Thank you. Thank you for sending your Son, Lord, to live the life, the blameless, perfect life here on earth, and then to take all the blame, going down to that cross. Thank you for taking on my sin and my shame and my guilt and the whole world's past, present, and future. Thank you for proving you were God by raising again 3 days later. Hallelujah, Lord. To you be all the glory forever and always. And in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.